Good evening. As we come to the Word of God this evening, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for being a supreme God, that you are in control of all things. Lord, we thank you for your sufficiency. And Lord, we pray for us tonight as we dive into your Word. Lord, I pray that you would that your Word would go forth. Lord, thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be online together. We pray all this in your name. Amen. If you would please turn into your Bibles, to the book of Joshua. We will be looking at chapter 23. But before we read the passage, I want to give a few words of background. As we come into this chapter, Israel is at peace and has been so for a long time. Some of the commentaries I read said 14 years. Joshua, who has led the people for many years, is old. He's at the end of his life. The previous chapters in Joshua outline Joshua's leading of the people of Israel in conquest and the dividing up of the land as an inheritance to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. So we see Israel now inhabiting this land, and the commands from Joshua to the people. Joshua, in the beginning of the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, receives these commands from God. And it's very interesting to note, because right after Moses finishes Deuteronomy, Moses passes away, passes on the torch to Joshua, and here is Joshua at the beginning of Joshua. And let's start there. If you would keep your finger in Joshua 23 and flip over to Joshua 1. Let's read the beginning of Joshua, and we'll look at God's charge to Joshua as he takes control of God's people to lead them. So we'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We see here the charge given directly to Joshua from God. This is what Joshua has been given to do. And now we come to the end of the book to read his farewell address to the people. So go ahead and flip to Joshua 23. We'll be reading the whole chapter. So Joshua 23. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land, as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they into you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive these nations out from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your side, and thorns in your eye, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring you all the harmful things until he has destroyed you from this land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. This is the message that Joshua had on his heart, that he desired to impress to the people of Israel as he was dying. These are his last words to the people. He is gathering all of them together to impart wisdom and to exhort them to obedience, to righteousness, and holiness. Also, he warns them of the dangers of not following God's law. It is interesting to note how many times Joshua used the phrase, the Lord your God. I'm a school teacher. I know that when I stand in front of a class, I have to repeat myself in order for everybody to get what I'm saying. Usually it's about 3 times for that last student to finally realize, hey, I'm supposed to do whatever it is. Joshua repeats the phrase, the Lord your God, 12 times in his farewell message to the Israelites. He wants them to know that God is their God. I have 3 points to this evening's message. The first is the Lord's provision for Israel. Number 2 is the victory God promises to Israel. And number 3, the defeat God promises to Israel. So, first of all, the Lord's provision for Israel. Let's look at some of the things the Lord has provided for the Israelites that Joshua is reminding them of. Verse 3 says, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who fought for you. Verse 4 says, see, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes. Verse 9 says, for the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. At the beginning of Joshua, God promises that all his foot trods upon would be his. Joshua is a fascinating and exciting book to read. God is with the people of Israel, and they are marching into the promised land. And for the first 12 chapters of this book, there are battles and there are exciting things that are happening. The walls of Jericho are falling down, and they are winning battle after battle. And they're in Gibeon, they're fighting these five kings that come to fight, and the Lord wins the battle by hailstones that end up killing more people than the Israelites did. The Israelites knew where their strength came from. They knew who was fighting their battles for them. I would like to skip over to verse 14, where it says, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know that in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." This is something Joshua knew firsthand. God promised to him in Joshua 1:6, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you should divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." This just happened. Joshua had just finished, and there's chapters 13 through 21, I believe, is the division of all the lands. And Joshua just finished doing this, fulfilling what God had told him at the beginning of Joshua what was going to happen. He saw these things happening. And Joshua is impressing upon the people that God is faithful. I'm also reminded of Psalm 37:25. "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." These are David's words, but the same is true. Our God is a faithful God. Those of you who have children or people that you know that are, if you are older and you are, tell people of what you've seen God do. Younger people, kids, ask your parents, ask the older generation, what have you seen God do? Because God has done many things, and we have seen God do many things. And we should be sharing that with one another. We should be encouraging one another with the faithfulness of God. God has provided for us bountifully. We have been witnesses to the goodness of our God. We have seen people saved. We have seen diseases healed. We have seen miracles. God does these things because he loves his children and he provides for them and wants to be a good father and give his children good things. This is also evidenced by our salvation, by the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We have a land that is promised to us. Our promised land is heaven. And we will dwell there with the Almighty forever. We have been provided a helper. God says that he sends his Spirit to live with us, giving us help. And we know that the Holy Spirit is within us because we have felt God's presence. Those of you who know Christ as your Savior. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are the promises of God for us, and the Bible is full of them. Point number two, the victory God promised to Israel. We now look at the promises that God makes in this chapter. I've just mentioned many of the promises that the Lord gave to us and how he has been faithful to fulfill that which he promised. Specifically, here in this passage, we are given a few promises relating to the land that they have been given. And if we look in verse 5, it says, and the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. We also see in verse 10, it says, one man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Here are two direct promises to the people to go in and to possess the land that the Lord has given them, and they will receive their inheritance. This is huge. This is the culmination of Joshua's life fulfilling the task that God has given him. And now he is sharing with the Israelites the promises that he knows to be true. Once again, verse 14, he tells the Israelites that not one word has not been fulfilled. His desire is for the people to have the good that God intended for them. Now is where we see a bit, well, maybe not a bit, but a lot of man's responsibility. These promises rely on the fact that God's people do something in order to get and maintain the promises of God. I realize I'm skipping around a bit, but in verses 6 and through 8 and 11, Joshua is giving the people of Israel the key to victory as God desires it. We'll be looking at three C's. That's the letter C. That we will look in reference to what God expects from his people. First of all, verse 6. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. So, I'm sure you can guess which the first C word is courageous. Joshua is passing on the command of God to the people. His time is done leading them, and how he is imparting the vision that God gave to him. God spells out here what he expects from his people. It takes courage to obey Christ, to stand up for what is right and not to waver to the right or to the left. We stand in opposition to the world and its ideals. It is not an easy or convenient thing to do. In considering the command not to turn to the right hand or the left, we can imagine a horse wearing blinders. Now, blinders are small pieces of plastic or leather that are put on the sides of the horse's eyes to block peripheral vision. And that's meant to be there in order to provide less distraction for the horse and more focus on its task. So a horse that has a specific task has blinders put on, so the horse sees what it's supposed to do and sees only that. We should be wearing spiritual blinders. We should have a focus on following Christ. There is a myriad of ways that we get distracted in our lives, and we don't do the things that we know we should be doing. And we use these as excuses for not obeying what Christ has commanded us to do. this time right now that we're going through with this COVID-19 and our lives are in turmoil because of this is a huge distraction. However, adherence to God's commands and obedience to Him is something that we must do. We must follow Christ. The Israelites were given strict rules and guidelines from the law of Moses, and they were to follow it all. There are several instances of distraction that the people of Israel saw firsthand, and the resulting consequences. First of all, Moses was not allowed into the promised land because he hit the rock instead of followed God's command to speak to the rock. Moses was graciously allowed to see the promised land, but he was not allowed to enter. We saw the sin of Achan and how it devastated the Israelites in their defeat at the Battle of Ai. And it was a seemingly small sin, but it was the people of Israel were punished because of it. We also see Joshua fail to seek God in wisdom when the Gibeonites came. And this is the story when the Gibeonites came, and they lived not very far away, but they wore tattered clothing and burst their wineskins and came and said they were from a long journey away and asked to make a covenant with Joshua. And Joshua went ahead and made a covenant with these people. And so because of that, they could not remove them from the land of the inheritance. So these are a few examples of where the Israelites witnessed God's expectations and His punishments for not obeying His command. The next verse I would like to look at in terms of Joshua giving the keys to the victory is verses 7 and 8. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. So, the C word that I want to talk about here is not actually in the New King James Version. It's in the ESV, and it's the word cling. And I like this word because I resonated with the connotation of this word. We are to hold fast. We are to cling to God. This is also used in the phrasing in Deuteronomy 10:20. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him. And to Him you shall hold fast. I went hiking yesterday. And our whole family went hiking. And I put Elliot, my 2-year-old, on my shoulders. And I thought of this immediately when I was thinking of an illustration for cling, because his 2-year-old hands were clinging to my head. Because you have to duck under trees and you have to lean and weave through the forest. And he was clinging to me as if his life depended on it. And how appropriate. We are to cling to Christ as if our life depends on it, because it does. We are to cling to Christ in a reliance on Him to satisfy our desires. The Israelites were instructed to stay far away from the gods of the people in the land that they were inhabiting. There's a progression to that verse. The first thing it says, shall not make mention of, and it's all referring to the other gods, shall not make mention of. And it moves to cause anyone to swear by them. It moves again to shall not serve them, and finally, shall not bow down to them. In clinging to Christ, we are not led astray to follow after other gods or be distracted. Joshua knows here that the people have a propensity to seek and fulfill and satisfy their desires with other gods and being unfaithful to the true God. Christian, we are to cling to God to satisfy us. God is all sufficient, and He is the fulfillment of every need we have. C.S. Lewis was quoted as saying, "God can't give us peace and happiness apart from Himself, because there is no such thing." We can and should rely on Him fully. In other words, cling to God. Thirdly, verse 11, "Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." The third C is careful. What does it mean to take careful heed? What does it mean to be careful? It explains it very well if you switch the two parts of that word, to be full of care. I have four children. I say be careful multiple times a day, whether they're slicing a piece of fruit for their snack or their lunch, or if they're whatever they're doing, if they're carrying a bowl of soup across the rug, I say be careful, because I want them to not drop the soup or cut their finger or whatever it is. But what does being careful really mean? It means a purposeful thoughtfulness when it comes to our love for God. We are to be intentional in our love and affection for Christ. If we are not careful, what happens? The Bible says we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. If we are not careful, it is easy to slowly drift from adherence to God, God's Word, and we find ourselves in the bypath meadow. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and Hopeful turn aside from the path that they are following, and they looked over the wall right to their side of the path, and they saw a meadow that looked really nice. And so they went through the stile, and they went into the meadow, and they walked along, and pretty soon they had diverted from the path that they were on. And the story goes on, but eventually they end up captured by the giant despair. And this shows how easy it is to stray from the path. James 1:14-15 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Satan is looking for us not to be careful. He is looking for a slip-up. He is a deceiver, an angel of light. Satan is a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. So, Christian, be careful to love your God. My final point, point number three, the defeat God promised to Israel. I understand this point might sound confusing, as we have just talked about how God wants to bless His people. However, there is defeat promised to the Israelites should they not obey God's law. Joshua spends a fair amount of time here warning the people. He, as their leader, knows their heart. He knows their propensity to evil. He knows these things. Yet he desires for the people to do right. He would be remiss if he did not stress the things that would go wrong for the people if God's commands were not obeyed. He is warning them out of love. He loves God's people. We see in verse 12 and 13, "Or else, if you indeed do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they into you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." Here we see the word cling used in the negative sense. This is grim. We see the removal of God's presence and grace and the resulting consequences. God is not a God who allows sin. God is telling his people, if they are not faithful, he will remove his faithfulness from them as a people. Their promise and inheritance will no longer be theirs. They will perish from off the land. Verses 15 and 16 go on to say, therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promises you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. In verses 12 and 13, we see the removal of God's grace. However, in verses 15 and 16, we see a far more severe punishment. God's anger will be kindled and will burn toward them. The result is the same, perishing quickly off the land. What a terrifying conclusion to Joshua's message for the people. This, however, in many ways, is what leaders do for the people they lead. They do not mince words. They speak to their followers, and they know the words they need to hear. Joshua knows these people. He has led them and been with them for years. In his final words, he is warning them of what he seems to know will be their eventual end. A quote from the Tyndale Old Testament commentary says, the loss of their land would mean that God took back what was his all along. Although the entire book of Joshua describes the occupation and allocation of the land, it will be lost if Israel does not remain faithful to God and worship him alone. What a sobering thought. To give up all God has done to chase after and cling to gods that don't even exist. To chase temporary pleasure at the expense of eternal joy and peace. Going to remind you of the C.S. Lewis quote once again. God can't give us peace and happiness apart from himself because there is no such thing. Unfortunately, we know what happened to Israel. God says in Jeremiah 5:23, but this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. Brothers and sisters, oh, that we would not be like the Israelites in their wavering and wandering hearts. We have been given so much. We have seen so much of God. We know his promises to be true. I'll end with this illustration. Our family has been watching John Wayne movies. And one of the movies that we watched was The Alamo. And in the end of The Alamo, right before the battle, the Mexican army is coming upon them, and they have, and it's the numbers out of my head, anyway, they have very few men at The Alamo. So Colonel Travis draws a line in the sand, and he says, if you're willing to give your life and to fight this battle, cross the line. And the men who were willing to give their lives in battle crossed the line, and they fought in Alamo. Joshua does this in chapter 24, verse 15. And this is a very familiar passage. My grandparents had this on a plaque on their wall in their house. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. People of God, choose to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are a good God, and we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to watch over us, give us strength, give us peace. In your precious name, amen.